Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
It's time, everybody, to visit Earth 400005.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Oh my God. You know what that means?
What's that?
Big time team up. Put them in Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yeah, sure, why not? I mean, some of the people in the show are alive.
That's true.
So we could definitely do that. We're, of course, talking about The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which is a TV telemovie continuation of the series, which ran from 1978 to 1982.
Incredible Hulk.
That's right. They should have called this telemovie The Hulk Has a Dream About a Court Case That Didn't Happen. Because there is no actual trial in this to be seen. And we'll talk about it. I will say this of this telemovie.
Yes.
First of all, leave a like. I'll say that.
Okay, great.
Second thing.
The most important thing about this telemovie, leave a like.
Second thing, it's a very admirable effort for the era.
I'll tell you something. I had a ball with this. I thought this was good and I had a good time with it. It came out in 1989, to be clear.
But also,
say your thing and then I'll say some nice things.
Well, I was just also going to say that I'm very glad it's the modern day.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, like, of the things that existed in this era, you know, they did like a Spider-Man TV series. There were some Captain America telemovies. They did a terrible Doctor Strange psychedelic adventure.
That's right, yeah.
This is easily, without a doubt, the best one.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. And obviously, like, there are some differences to the MCU. Obviously, the modern-day MCU, and there are some differences from the comic books. There are technical limitations. Like, Lou Ferrigno, who plays the Hulk.
Yes.
Enormous man.
Yeah.
But obviously,
the biggest man you could get.
That's right. He isn't portraying a Hulk that can, you know, level a city.
No.
Kind of thing. This Hulk, seemingly, is, while he's big and powerful and tough, he doesn't seem to be bulletproof. He's more like a wounded animal.
Yeah.
I got sort of like
like a bear that you've come across.
Yes, exactly. Like he'll do some smashing and then he'll flee when the police arrive because who knows what's going to happen. It gave me some sort of like Stallone in First Blood kind of vibes.
Okay, sure, yeah.
You know, he's a danger, but he's also
the Hulk.
He's also the Hulk.
Like in Rambo.
Exactly. That's right.
There's been some comparisons also to like this in The Fugitive. Because it's a man on the run and
people
are like, let's stop this guy. Let's stop him. Do you mind, though, if I give this a little bit of backstory to the series?
Please.
Of how we got here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because people are like,
well, how we got here is we figured out that the characters in this particular telemovie would be good for, you know, search engine optimization.
Exactly.
And we jumped on the trend. That's how we got here.
Daredevil's defending the Hulk. Mm-hmm. Daredevil's probably in that new Spider-Man movie.
That's right.
It's just all brand synergy.
That's right. But how this TV telemovie came to be is a different reason. Probably something to do with brand synergy, but still.
This is more about like the story leading up to this. So David Bruce Banner is traumatized by a car accident that killed his beloved wife, Laura. Haunted by his inability to save her, Banner studies people who are able to summon superhuman strength during moments of extreme stress.
The classic mum flipping the car to rescue the baby. Mum flipping a car energy.
Obsessed with discovering why he couldn't flip a car like his mum. Under similar conditions, Banner hypothesizes that high levels of gamma radiation from sunspots contributed to subjects' increase in strength. So impatient to test this theory, Banner conducts an unsupervised experiment in the laboratory, bombarding himself with gamma radiation.
Well, there's your first mistake. Get a supervisor.
Exactly. And now you've turned into Lou Ferrigno. So not originally, so in the pilot for this, which was filmed, Richard Kiel was the Hulk.
Jaws.
Yeah.
From the James Bond movies.
And I think everybody, including Richard Kiel, was like, I'm not, like, I'm tall, but I'm not.
Yeah, right.
You know, just a tall, what if I turn into a tall man?
Mm.
Cool, I guess. Do you want to also talk about the name? Because the name of this character is David Bruce Banner.
Mm.
Unlike the comic books where his name is, for some reason, Robert Bruce Banner,
yeah,
actually.
It is Robert Bruce Banner. It's fascinating. There have been a number of reasons suggested by people involved in the production of this as to why he has a different name. One of the producers, I think, said that he didn't want the series to be too comic booky, mm-hmm. and one of the tropes of comic books is all comic book characters have alliterative names. So your Bruce Banners and your Peter Parkers and your Clark Kent. I spell that with two K's.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, well, let's do David Banner instead. But both Stan Lee and Lou Ferrigno have said that they were told during the production of this that Bruce was too gay.
Yes. That is an unsubstantiated rumor. But
it's on Wikipedia, so we're taking it as gospel. But also, why not just call him Robert? It's right there.
It's a great point.
They also maybe wanted to make him red.
Yeah, I do have some information on that. The reason being was because producer Kenneth Johnson thought that red is a more human color and like the color of rage. And Stan Lee, who was involved, you know, to some degree in this, first Stan Lee cameo. That's also true. In a Marvel property. You see him in this. It's in a dream, though. It doesn't count. Stan Lee was like, no, that's kind of like a big part of this character is that, yeah, he's green. Sure, that was like a, I think it was like a printing necessity at the time when they made the character.
Also, just to be clear, in the anecdote about the name, both Stan Lee and Lou Ferrigno did say that changing it was ridiculous. They didn't go, yeah, it does seem too gay.
Yeah, of course, yeah. What do you think about the look of the Hulk? What do you think of his coconut shell wig? And his big fake teeth and his contact lenses.
And his contact lenses. I think it's pretty good. I think it's, again,
I think like the Frankenstein head they put on him is, mm-hmm. I don't think you need to do a lot of this. I think like, why does he need to have that haircut?
Maybe it's a match of Bill Bixby's haircut.
But they don't. Bill Bixby's also got a beard in this.
Yeah, I know. And then when he becomes the Hulk, it's very much when General Ross in the MCU becomes the Red Hulk, his mustache disappears.
Madness.
Or he had a fake mustache on.
Madness either way.
Yeah, yeah. In watching this, I think these are two great performances. I'm loving Bill Bixby as
he's really good. Yeah,
he's and he directed this as well.
He did. Yeah, yeah.
And he's an older man. He's wise. Mm. He's on the run.
He gets pushed into a ditch.
I did enjoy the trope of like he's trying to spend his entire life, you know, avoiding rage inducing incidents, but everybody he meets just wants to push him into a ditch. He's just got I don't want to blame the victim, but it's just, he's just got a face that makes you want to push him into a ditch.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Because at the start, he's on a sort of road crew. He's digging by the side of the road with some people, and one of the fellow workers at lunchtime just pushes him into a ditch, like right at the start. And I'm like, what did he do before this?
Ah, yeah.
maybe it's something he said. he was like, well, look, I'm on the run from law enforcement and all my problems in the past, but I really feel bad about lowering myself to working with you, scum.
I'm a doctor, actually.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, I'm a PhD in radiation. But the story of this, it kicks off because Sting and his mate are harassing a woman on a train after a diamond heist, which was instigated by a very tech-savvy kingpin, which I do want to get back to.
Jonathan Rhys-Davies.
That's right. So Gimli. That's Gimli, that's right. And the idea...
And the guy from Sliders.
That's right.
And other things.
And his own YouTube channel. He then turns into the Hulk on the train, rescues the woman, but then it's pinned on him. And then the authorities, because they don't have his real name, they think maybe the Hulk and this guy are two different people. Mm-hmm, and they're like, he's pinned for the attack on the train.
Kingpinned,
thank you. There's all sorts of assassination attempts, like a spike in his prison cell. The guy was just going to put through the mattress.
Just some nerd inmate. I don't think
that would work, really.
Good question. I mean, modern day Hulk, you absolutely could not.
I just meant on anybody.
Oh, sure, right. Okay, right.
I just don't think you'd have the force to go through it. But yeah, you're right. So modern day Hulk cannot be killed, it seems, even in Bruce Banner form. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll just keep coming back.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, you mentioned the Kingpin. First of all, shave your head, man. If you're doing some Kingpin stuff, let's see that dome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Let's see a dome or a 1989 bald cap.
But we also really get a lot of mileage out of that chair that he sits in. Every time it turns, like, he's got an electric chair, we get it. Mm. Also, it's definitely not an electric chair, and you've just put the sound effect in. Yeah,
but I did like the idea of the Kingpin. You know, obviously the comic book version of the version we have in Daredevil is, you know, he's sort of a very high-end crime boss. But I like the version in this where maybe he's not the absolute top of the food chain necessarily, but he is sort of, he is a, you know, a fine criminal mind, and he can plot out this diamond heist to the letter and say, okay, put cameras here, you know, enter the jewelry store and then put cameras here and here and here, and then move to the left and then cover this exit and then go down into the vaults and then open these drawers and what have you. And he's got it all covered and he's just, you know,
that is
just doesn't want to leave his house.
No, of course
I respect that.
I respect how he's a man of multimedia. He's always like, look at this screen, look at this projector, look at this chair, look at my glasses. Okay, I will. That's good. Also, there is a very accurate Daredevil in this.
His name is Rex Smith.
Yeah. Still alive to this day.
Good for him.
Good for him.
An actor and pop star, I believe, a musician.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you know what? Tell you what. Speaking of, you know, one of the reasons I enjoyed this, he, or at the very least his stuntman, is pulling off some moves I did not expect from 1989.
Are you talking his gymnastics routine?
He's doing some gymnastics routine.
Some of his Daredevil abilities.
I'm talking his gymnastic routine. I'm talking he's doing some flips and some kicks and some locks.
Yeah,
it's looking good.
Well,
I was like, this is gonna be terrible, but it was good.
I enjoy how
he's doing the thing where you axe kick a guy into the ground.
Yeah, that's good. Oof. His first introduction is because a nurse is going to, an evil nurse is going to kill the woman who was attacked on the train to protect Sting, who works for the Kingpin. Mm-hmm. He looks like Stingpin, thank you. And all the woman sees when she wakes up is just a man in black attacking a nurse.
Yes.
And I think what the nurse could have done is just like, this man is attacking me. Mm. And then when like a doctor or an orderly comes in, the nurse like kicks him in the chest. Uh-huh. And just be like, no, I'm being attacked. What are you doing? Also, Daredevil just killed that woman. just trips her into a machine made of just sparks and electricity. Incredible stuff. Also, another thing I didn't think they'd attempt, and to be fair, it's not very good.
Is it the Daredevil radar?
Yeah,
sense?
but they did it, you know? I just didn't think we were going to see it. Because I was thinking as I was watching this, how would they even attempt this in this era? You know, we've got the World of Fire in the new series. Mm-hmm. We've got the Echo version from the movie, mm-hmm. which I think is the best version.
I think it might be.
We'll come back to it at some point. But yeah.
We have done a commentary on it.
Oh, we have too.
Yeah.
Extended
So we
only.
Never have to come back to it again.
That's a good point. But I also love how he got inspired to become Daredevil because the police chief is like, there's too many corrupt people. We need somebody who's going to dress up as, I don't know, like some kind of vigilante and just beat up some people. And he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Like a Daredevil. Real Daredevil.
I think he even says those exact words.
The police chief just gives a press.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Conference where he says, I fully endorse vigilantism. So this was intended to be a backdoor pilot, right, for a Dead
Correct, End yes.
TV series that never got picked up. I very much enjoyed Rex Smith as Daredevil. He had a couple of sidekicks at his...
He's got Pederman, who's a button-down nerd who just is a stickler for rules, but also he'll leave a box in the middle of the floor for a blind man to trip over.
Right.
Pederman, what are you doing?
And also a lady.
Yeah, also a lady who's not...
Not Karen Page.
Yeah, exactly, Karen Page.
What did you think of the Daredevil costume?
I mean, it's the Black Daredevil costume,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, I know, but I think it is the Black Daredevil costume, but also... I feel like that works better in the new Daredevil series because we know we are leading up to a red Daredevil costume. We're leading up to the classic costume, the kind of the high-tech, cool one.
Yeah.
This one, just kind of a guy in a ninja outfit.
Yeah, but at the same time...
He doesn't even have little horns.
It doesn't, you're right. But neither does the black one normally.
I know.
But I think if they had have attempted this actual costume, it would have been awful.
Mm.
Like, this is this makes it less silly. Like, it's a very silly show, as all comic book shows are. And look, to be fair, this being a backdoor pilot, they probably would have got to it.
A better costume, maybe. Yeah. I mean, when they were producing a new pilot, that maybe there would have been a budget for something other than some black stockings.
Exactly.
And another set of black stockings on his head. I liked them teaming up. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, good stuff.
Not so much Hulk and Daredevil teaming up, but more Banner and Daredevil teaming up. Because it was more like the back half of this is just kind of Bruce Banner going... Sorry, David Banner.
I think you mean Robert David Bruce Banner.
I do mean that.
Robert David Bruce Eric Banner.
Thank you. The back end of this was very much more like Banner just going, okay, well, this is your show now.
Yeah.
Let's see what you can do. I'll just stand back and cheer you along.
Yeah, exactly. I love the little interaction where they had, where he goes, oh, I'm blind. I got blinded by radiation. And he's like, I know, I'm a doctor. And he's like, doctor's looked at my eyes before. And he goes, no, I'm a doctor who specializes in radiation. And he looks at his eyes and he goes, can my eyesight be restored? And he's like, nah.
Nah, mate. Nah.
These are cooked, mate.
Yeah, these are oof.
I thought that was
couple of bloody California raisins in there, I tell you what. Oof. Oof.
When they had the court case moment, I was like, is this a dream? Because it's so angry and surreal and rushed and just odd. And yeah, and Stan Lee's there. Why was that, do you think, originally supposed to be in this like actual movie?
As in not like a dream sequence, as in a real sequence. No, I think it was probably always intended to be a dream sequence, yeah.
It's very odd. Very odd inclusion.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe they came up with the idea of the Trial of the Incredible Hulk as a name.
Yeah.
And had to sort of work backwards to add that scene in.
You might be right. Here's something also I like.
Go on.
The Kingpin traps Daredevil, and it seems like the way he does it, where he just starts throwing a bunch of stuff at him, like he didn't know he was blind, but it was just like, oh, we'll try some bright lights. Okay, now we'll do some sound. Oh, yeah, this is it. Now let's beat him up, you know?
Sure.
I thought that was interesting. Like, he doesn't know, but he's... You know, he's a smart guy. What's he got on the inside of those glasses? Are they tech glasses? I don't think they are.
No, I think they're regular.
I wish
glasses.
They had little screens on them. I wish.
In 1989, man, you work with what you have.
That's true. And speaking of working with what you have, Wilson Fisk gets away at the end.
On a little flying jet boat car thing.
Looks like a bath toy.
Yeah. Yep.
it's so weird. It's such a weird design. But I
like not even a helicopter. I guess it would have been cheaper than a helicopter. A green screen and that little bar thing, cheaper than a helicopter.
But they built it.
I know.
You know? Yeah. You couldn't have rented
plywood.
Like rented a helicopter.
I reckon the little bath toy, $500.
Yeah.
Helicopter rental, $1,000.
You might be right. I think though a lot of money did go into this because a lot of this show before this was mostly in like, it's rural America because it was cheaper to film than like in a major city. Mm. But it seems like they actually put a bit of money in this. And I liked at the end how they parted not as friends, Mason. They parted as brothers who'd been horribly affected by radiation. I think that's cool.
Absolutely. One of whom was self-inflicted.
Yes, that's right. Not to point any fingers.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, who knows where that waste radiation came from? Banner Industries.
Also, I thought it was like odd that they went, look, there's no real Daredevil or Marvel peripheral characters in this, except Turk. Like, yeah, Turk, right? Barrett's in this for some reason. Interesting choice. Now, as mentioned, this was supposed to be a backdoor pilot into a Daredevil series that wasn't picked up.
Was the appearance of Thor in a previous one, was that also Thor's supposed to be a backdoor? Was that also meant to be a backdoor pilot?
I think you might be right, yeah. There was also going to be a crossover at one point with the 1977 Spider-Man TV series.
Oh, do you think Manimal might have been involved at some point?
You chuck in a Manimal. You know what I mean? Also, there was an idea because David Bruce Eric Banner in this has a sister who was going to end up becoming She-Hulk.
Okay. Who would have they got as She-Hulk at the time?
Great question.
Isn't it, though?
Lou Ferrigno.
Great.
Different wig.
Yep, sure. Fine.
They didn't end up doing that, but then Marvel went, and you probably would know more about this, went, oh, if they invent this character, that means they own it. So then Marvel went, yeah, we have a She-Hulk. We did She-Hulk first.
Yeah, so the TV version wasn't going to be an adaptation. It was just going to be a new character called She-Hulk.
Like Mrs. Columbo.
Like Mrs. Columbo. And then they went, okay, yeah, well, we'll... And that has resulted eventually in a She-Hulk TV series that we all will know and love, probably.
Probably.
Mm. There was a sequel to this.
Yeah, there was a...
The Death of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
In which he does die. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert for this thing that happened in 1990.
Yep.
And then there was going to be a sequel to that called The Revenge of the Incredible Hulk. And there was going to be, I believe, there were two rumored storylines. One was going to be potentially Bruce Banner's mind in the Hulk's body.
Okay.
They were going to do the melding of the two.
Mush them together.
Which, of course, we've seen in Avengers Endgame. We've seen in the comic books as the Professor Hulk and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I think that particular rumor might have been like, a modern day fan built rumor.
Okay, sure.
Because that ties everything together, doesn't it? But I think there was also going to be the plot for the next one was going to be that Bruce Banner comes back to life, but he can't turn into the Hulk anymore, and then he's recruited by the government to build like Hulk like soldiers.
Okay.
For evil purposes, and then he has to go through the gamma radiation again and become the Hulk again, and you know, beat everybody up.
Yeah, because
again, who were they going to get for that? Lou Ferrigno again, I guess.
Probably, I'd imagine so, yeah.
Different wigs.
Well, I'd imagine also a big reason why a lot of that didn't happen was because Bill Bixby passed away in 1993.
That's true.
I think maybe it might have been done by then already, but that obviously closed the door.
Yes.
And he was such an integral part of this series that obviously you can't really continue it after him, passing.
But he lives on in... usually animated comedies where somebody has to walk away sadly and they play the sad Hulk music, walk away.
Genuinely, though, he's really good.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple of bits of trivia here in our famous segment called I've Just Got Two Bits This Week of Trivia.
Great.
Yeah.
And I say great.
That's right.
Mm.
Lou Ferrigno's voice is never heard when he plays the Hulk as his character vocals were dubbed over using different actors. However, he will later voice the Hulk in several animated projects, as well as the CGI-depicted versions in the live-action Hulk and Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
That's true.
That's interesting because I always thought that he did all of his Hulk stuff for this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that they swapped him out and then they brought him back to voice it even though he didn't initially. I'm not against it. I just think it's weird.
Isn't it weird? It's also weird that I believe, again, speaking of Stan Lee, when they were originally producing this TV series, Stan Lee said, well, of course, the Hulk's going to talk. And they said, no, the Hulk wouldn't talk. And he went, yep, that is actually correct. Agreed.
Apparently, Stan Lee pushed for a lot of ideas that they went, that's too silly, that's too comic booky.
Really?
I think that's really not what they were going for here. They were going more like of a sad man on the run.
The
situation.
Lonely man, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last bit of trivia, though. When the TV series was on the air, Bill Bixby was very careful never to be photographed with Lou Ferrigno in the Hulk makeup because he felt for photos to get out of the two of them together would destroy the illusion to children and fans of the show that they were not the same person.
That's nice.
The tabloids of the era were always trying to get a picture of David Banner and the Hulk creature together, but were unable to do so.
Nice.
Wow.
That's good stuff. That's some real, what's that wrestling thing? Kayfabe.
Yeah.
Keep it real off stage.
Keep it in universe.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah, I think, you know, because this is, and especially initially, it was aimed at children. And that's why the Hulk isn't seen punching anybody. He pushes and he flips and he runs.
And at one point in this, he grabs a guy right on the crotch. He really just gets in there and he flips and he gets the guy and he just holds him over his head. And he's just really mashing that dude's crotch. Just really getting it in there.
That's how you do it.
It looked painful.
Yeah. But this wasn't painful. Look, I can't say I loved it. It's pretty slow and of its era, obviously.
I think it loses a bit of momentum towards the end.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good, fun setup. I think everybody's good in this.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best. It's just, it's always faint praise to be like, they're doing the best they could with what they had at the time.
But everything adapted into comic books of this year, with a few exceptions, is just dog shit. Mm. And this is definitely not that.
Banner and Murdoch have this little thing where, like, initially Banner's like, you can shake my hand, it's right here.
Yeah.
And every time Murdoch's like, yeah, no. At the end, he's like, I know. And I thought that was a good little callback. He's like, I know. Daredevil. I got that weird green CRT monitor eyes. You know?
I like the bit where a shoebox fell out of his cupboard and he karate chopped it clear of himself.
Oh, yeah. That was the first clue. There was something special about this guy. I liked the bit at the end where he grabbed a guy's leg and then he just dropped the elbow on his knee.
Bam.
It's good.
Limp forever, bitch.
That's right.
He said,
I'm Daredevil.
Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. You're not going to believe this, but we do this every week. Here's a hint towards next week. Man, I bet some people want to see it that early. And guess what? You can if you head over to bigsandwich.co, where in addition to early videos, there's also exclusive stuff that goes up there, including movie commentaries, as mentioned, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Did we mention it in this?
Extended cast. Oh, yeah. We did Spider-Man recently. We also did Daredevil.
That's right.
Bonus podcast. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out early there, a day early on Sunday as opposed to Monday. And our Hawkeye recaps are also going up there early.
That's right.
As well. Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
The sad music as we leave.
But not too much, obviously, for copyright reasons.
Maybe
like...
royalty-free sad music as
maybe
we leave.
Maybe a kazoo version. Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.